presence, the opportunity, the privilege to worship you. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How we love you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your anointing. Amen. Just take a second. Just let him know. Just let him know you love him. Or just take a minute and say, Lord, thank you for your love for me. Okay? Just take a second. You be seated now, right now. I'd want to go on to a couple more things, if that's okay. And I'm going to switch it up a little bit again tonight. We've been wanting to get to session 70, Marcus, for like 3 weeks. We'll see if we get there tonight. Hey, before I begin on a couple things, thank you, ladies. Appreciate it. The drums, those aren't drums, but what? Thank you. Very appreciative on a Wednesday night that those gals up there and giving their hearts towards that. Amen. I'm going to have to get a hold of me. Forgot my iPad tonight. You know what that means? Amen. I just wanted to say, so last night, you know, Sean led it, but... And Sean and these other guys I went with, they're true evangelists. I realize I'm not much of an evangelist, but I hung out with them. And so we went downtown Prescott to, what's that main street there? Mount Vernon. So there's all these trick-or-treaters. I used to work in a real estate office right in that corner. And like 15 years ago, there were some kids there, but not, man, I tell you what, now it's like, a lot of people there. Someone told me they bus people up from Phoenix for this. And so we went there, and Sean has his, your cooler, but it's full of tracks. And so we went to the park and talked to, we had some really cool conversations, didn't we? And so... People need to, you know, talking to some young people, like a young man saying, no, if I just, you know, if I just get high and get up in the morning, go to work, and that's good enough for me. But you know it's not good enough for him. Anybody who's ever tried that knows that it's okay, but not forever, right? Fine, it's not okay at all. And so just trying to, you know, share the love of God. And a lot of these people were very... I didn't come, I've had people say no thank you, but I didn't come up against anybody that was hostile. So that was really awesome. That was at Kinley Field, and they have that skate park there. And then we went up to where all the activities were and handing out tracks. And then Sean says, hey, let me show you what I do. And so he goes about halfway up the street there, and then he gets on top of his cooler. And he says, hey, can I get your attention? I'm thinking, how's this going to go? Right? How's this going to go? I really enjoyed it, Sean, so I wanted to share, so thank you. And so, and the other guys that were there too, Leonard Leroy, Michael, I'm sorry I didn't see you there, but I knew you were there. Our dear brother Michael was there. John, you were there. I'm sorry, John, I knew you were there too because you talked about how cold it was. But I didn't get to see John either. He was up, you know. And so when he got up on Sean, he said, may I have your attention? And then he says, hey, if you can answer some questions, I'm going to give you money. Well, then, man, this crowd, just when they heard money, I mean, everybody stopped what they're doing. And so he starts asking questions, what's the most spoken language in the world and colors and different things. And then I think you start out by, have you ever told a lie? And so Sean will do, you know, there's crowds going to and fro, so he'll do this several times and get a whole group, different group of people. And so what I wanted to do, because I wanted to tell you what I saw there from an individual. Because you think that's, you know, that's not going to work. But the way that it was presented, Sean, was with God's grace and love and wisdom. And so there was this, as he started getting into the gospel, you can't really see it. But can you see Sean here? So here's Sean. And so as he begin, you know, as he gets into the gospel, the crowd begins to kind of thin out. You know, okay. But there was this one particular gal. I don't remember her name. Do you? Bailey. And she's standing there, and I'm telling you, whatever she was connecting with what Sean was saying, there's no doubt, Sean. Because she didn't know anybody. When Sean was speaking, she didn't know there was anybody else there. And she had it, so it must have been a friend that had, she had a baby in like a stroller, and she was pregnant. And she said, my husband is, we just finished boot camp. And I don't know what she said was going on, but she says, we've been realizing that we need to give our lives to the Lord. And so as Sean was asking these questions this gal with a childlike faith, it was precious to observe. When everybody else is hustling, bustling, going on, I don't care if nobody else listened. I'm sure he did it. There was other people listening. I know he prayed with other people. But it was worth it to me, and I know it was worth it to Sean and the other, to see that one gal there with childlike faith taking in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm hoping we find out she lives in Paulden. So we told her about this church. We're hoping. So, Lord, we pray you touch Bailey. We told her about this church. Told her where it was and everything about it. We prayed that she would touch her. We prayed that what God planted in her life that night and has already been planting, we found out, Father, that it cannot be stolen by the enemy in Jesus' name, but that it will bear fruit unto the kingdom of God. So we thank you. We declare that over Bailey, that you bless her and be with her husband and bless him and watch over him and watch over her pregnancy and her other child. Lord, we thank you for that childlike faith, Lord, that she displayed, Lord, and we pray it would bear fruit, and we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So anyway, so in seeing that, you know, the gospel is just a simple gospel, but it was, you know what made a difference? It's with the heart that it was received. It's with the heart. And sometimes we got, you know, the enemy, that this world will come against us, right, with the cares of the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? The struggles you have in your own flesh and your mind, things that you deal with. You know, when you give your life to God, does anybody notice that the things you dealt with didn't all of a sudden disappear? Did you notice that? So the enemy will, I'll say this again, the enemy will try to use those things to discourage you, but the growth processes, do not allow it to discourage you. Continue to be in the house of the Lord. Continue by faith to say, Lord, I belong to you. Continue to read the word of God, amen, and allow him to grow you. I don't care how difficult or how hard it is, if you do not give up, you will bear fruit, amen. That's the good news. And the other good news is, even during all those things that you struggle with or the enemy tries to speak against you, you belong to him. Nobody can take you out of his hands. And so we thank you for that, Lord. Nobody can take you out of his hands. But it's with the heart. So just keep your heart. It says guard your heart, meaning the voices of the enemy, those records. How do we get new records playing in our mind? Well, first, number one, knowing that he loves us with an everlasting love. We belong to him. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Ask him to reveal, to continue to reveal himself to you. Ask his love to be shed abroad in your heart. And that's where I want to go tonight a little bit, is the shedding of the blood, of his love in our hearts. You know, I got on this a little bit, or I was thinking about this as I'm not going right now to session 70 of chapter 7 of John. But I will go to 1 Corinthians 13 again. But I learned something a little that I have to continue to learn is, look, when we're talking about grace and truth, just understand this. We say, Jesus brought grace and truth. We got to be careful, because what does it mean to you when it says truth, right? So we know his grace is unmerited, his unmerited favor. For by grace are you saved through faith, right? Then we know there's truth. So you think in your mind, okay, what is truth? And then if we're not careful, we can just go back to a list of do's and don'ts. But it's that, of course, there's right and wrong, but there's it's much deeper than him saying, okay, I brought grace and truth, and here's your list of the law of do's and don'ts. We'll just now call it truth. We got to be careful. So in understanding that and allowing the Lord to speak to me, here's some truths, okay? Here's the number one truth. God is love, okay? God is love. It's amazing that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but God is love. And to understand his love, I'm telling you, the one thing that I in my walk is, Lord, if I could just understand this love, because even then I can read 1 Corinthians 13 and say, okay, I'm going to do this. But you can't do it. It's his love. You know, I did a marriage this past weekend. It was a beautiful wedding on off of Road 4 North at that windmill place. What's it called? Windmill. Anybody been in there, the windmill place? Have you? Yeah, you get in there. So you go down 4 North, and I think on the west side, and you come into those windmills, the ranches, those houses, those houses are brand new houses. But then you see this little area that's just all these trees, and it says windmill something, destination or something. And then you get in there, so many trees that you can't even see Chino. So you feel like you're in a different world. There's hundreds of trees, and these ponds, and all these things. Really beautiful. Just thought I'd mention that. That's right here in Chino. And so, but as I am giving this, officiating this wedding, they, you know, they always want me to give a little definition or spend 10 minutes defining marriage and what it should be. So I like to go to Ephesians 5, where it talks about how this mystery, Paul talks about this mystery of, you know, Christ loving the church, or the husband to love his wife as Christ loves the church. And he says, I'm speaking of a mystery. So that's pretty amazing, right? You and I are the bride of Christ, right? Jesus is the groom. Amen. He's coming back for his church, which is the bride, male and female. His you know, the definition of being his bride, his church. And so I'm going through this with them. They're looking at each other. You know how it is. They're looking at each other just goo-eyed, right? And so I'm talking about all this thing of love. But who knows, if you've been around a while, that goo-eyed part of it, that doesn't remain forever. Does anybody ever realize that? Have you come to realize that? You've come to realize that for some people or situations or things that have happened in your life, that love can be just become a word. Remember, he loves me, he loves me not. We've talked about, I love chocolate pudding. I love that banana thing I ate tonight. I had two helpings and I should not have had it, but I said, I love this. And I did truly love it. But that is not the definition, really. That's not love. So I just want to mention tonight, as you know, as we go through life, and you know, what to say, knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. Did you know that? You can learn, but it's really God's love that he really wants us to understand. You know, we have to remind ourselves of that, of his love for us, of what love is. You probably come to realize, if you're married or been in and even had friends or people that you love, that it's not just the feelings, the goo-eyed at one another. And so as I'm even explaining this love and going to 1 Corinthians 13 to give a definition, and I went with them and I seen them looking at one another, and I said, yeah, this will be tested. It won't be like this forever. I don't know how long it'll be, but there'll become a morning where that Google eye thing will change to like, you got some things that just bug me. Bug me a lot. Has anybody been there? Okay. I don't want nobody lying here. But I want to say that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just a remembrance of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's going through all the gifts of the Spirit, the power gifts, the prophecy, the healing. Amen. Isn't that good stuff? That is awesome. The healing, the tongues, the interpretation, the gift of prophecy, all the gifts. He's going through all of those things. And the very last, after going through all of that, talking about the 9 different spiritual gifts, he ends that with chapter 12, verse 31. It says, but earnestly desire the greatest gifts, the greater gifts. And then he ends it with this. He says, and yet I am going to show you a far better way. A far better way. You know, all the giftings and abilities and talents that I might have, did you know it's not enough for me to have a successful relationship with my wife or friendships? See, when you got good friends, right? You ever notice that they don't ask you about all your great abilities and your talents? You get to who you really are at the heart. You know, what makes you really tick? What this life is really about? What brings you joy? What brings you a hope? What brings you peace? What keeps you getting up in the morning? And I can guarantee you, isn't about all those abilities and giftings that you and I have. Amen. He says, I'll show you a far better way. And so I just want to say that even this Sunday, as we get into this thing that God has given me about these dry bones, that all of that is all predicated and all about God's love for humanity. Remember, I told you that I was teaching in a Bible college here a few years ago. And I was talking on giving, stewardship. And I was talking about tithing and giving. And I've mentioned this before. And even as I was teaching it, the Lord began to speak to my heart and say, tithing and giving is all about people. See, it's all about people. It's all about God's love for people. Even our giving. Keeping the lights on here isn't so we just to keep the lights on so we don't have a late electric bill. It's because God wants people to come to know his love. They want to know that underneath that, besides all those different abilities and talents that they may be scratching at, trying to claw at and trying to perfect, and that's okay to have abilities and talents that you perfect, but I guarantee you underneath that, what God is really wanting to reveal to your heart and my heart in a lifetime as we walk on this earth until we draw our last breath or till he comes again is to understand his love. Oh, how he loves you and I. For God so loved the world. That's a big word, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, right, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All of these things, the giftings, all the things that God has given you, all that grace that my brother was displaying on his cooler, was that what God is trying to let people know is how much he loves them. That he loves them, that he wants to touch a wounded heart. You know, we can live, you can be a believer. Let me just say this. You can be a believer and go through life and become cynical to love because of a woundness to the heart. But let me just say this. In this day, in this age, doesn't matter what's gone on in your life, God heals hearts. He forgives past. We forgive others, right? We forgive others, and we again and continue to experience his love, and then we have this desire for others through ourselves to experience his love. Amen. really, if you realize it, if you're have any maturity and have relationships or had a wife or a husband, I have a wife, I want her to know how much she's cherished. But it only comes through God's love in my life. Let me just go to 1 Corinthians 13 and in the NASB. And are you in there? Are you hanging in there? Aren't you glad for God's love? I can't emphasize it enough. You can polish all the giftings, abilities, talents, and wisdom you have. And that's okay. It's good to be excellent in what God has gifted you in. But do you understand His love? It's what girds us. It's what girds our life. Matter of fact, without it, the church of Jesus Christ cannot survive. Why was Paul saying to this church, he's talking about all these spiritual gifts, but let me show you a far better way because of the struggles they were having. If you go further on into chapter 11, all the struggles that they were having and what was he trying to get at? Man, you need to come into the fullness of God's love. Amen. Aren't you glad for His love? So I'm going to say, if I speak with the tongue of mankind, of men and angels, I got a little different. I'm going to read from here, John. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So we can have all these words coming out. We can have all this rah, 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 right? But it's only noise. Next verse, John, if you have it, dear brother. If I have the gift of prophecy, is prophecy okay? Hallelujah. I love the gift of prophecy. I love operating in prophecy. It encourages people. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries, wouldn't that be cool? And all knowledge, wouldn't that be amazing? Amazing giftings and talents. And if I have all faith, wow. Faith that can move mountains so as to remove mountains. Remember, Jesus talked about faith that moved mountains. Nothing wrong with that. That's amazing. It says the just shall live by faith. Our faith pleases God. Amen. But it says if you have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Isn't that amazing? I am nothing. You know, as we begin to operate and do some things in the high school, the main thing, these things that we're doing, whether it be helping with some of the repairs, or if you were here Sunday, I talked about what the high school is going to allow us to do as far as get a group of people together and start doing some repairs at the high school. They're going to allow us to have a prayer meeting there. They're going to allow us to have a club. But you know, the whole focus of all of that is that people would come to know His love. If they'll come to know His love, they'll come out of hopelessness. Their hearts will be healed. They'll be delivered. They'll be set free. And then they will operate in those abilities and giftings and things that God has placed within them with full assurance and full hope. Amen. If I have all this, if I have faith as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. Let's continue, John. Thank you. Next verse. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, let that sink in. It's a good thing to help people that are in need, right? Yeah. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, that's being what? A martyr. Being a martyr. Revelation talks about martyrs, how precious they are in God's sight. So nothing wrong with that. I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me a little bit. Nothing. Wow. Why is that? Why does it say that? Well, he's going to kind of go into a definition of this. So he's saying that because of these things, because this starts to get at the very character of who God is, who He wants you and I to become through His Holy Spirit. Next one, next verse. Thank you, John. So love is patient. You remember Peter asked Jesus, how many times must I forgive my brother? Seven times. He's thinking, man, seven times, you know, pretty good. What was Jesus' response? 70 times 7. But it was just a number. That's part of that love is patient. Let me just say that these are things that are qualities of God's Spirit work in your life. Because if you just try to do this on your own, it'll just be a frustration. You'll be doing it out of the operating of your own flesh. You can even become insincere. You can even put on facades because you're so desperately wanting to walk in this. What it is saying, God, I understand that if everything I pursue in life, and it's okay, if I don't have an understanding of your love, or I don't allow your love to heal my heart, I may end up at the end of the road not really mattering or not really doing it for the right motives. Amen. But with God's love, we can be sure of when we say, Lord Jesus, let me love people like you. You know, this week I had a situation that was stressing me out. And this is where God spoke to me. He says, you know what, Chad? Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth. In this situation, Chad, just love that person. You don't have to be right. Even if you think you have to, it doesn't matter. Just show my biggest things, Chad, is that you will show my love to other people. That you be gracious to other people when they don't even, in my mind's eye, deserve my graciousness. But that's where that love is patient. Love is kind. See, these are things that God reveals in you. And even when you don't quite feel like you're saying, Lord, thank you for showing me that. I'm going to operate in that, man. I'm going to operate in your humbleness. I'm going to forgive. I'm not going to have to be right about everything. I'm going to show forth your gracious love. And I'm telling you, when you do that, that situation can be extinguished almost immediately when you choose to walk in his love. When you choose to forgive and not hold on to things, you know, we're willing to forgive until it's something that's like, ah, man, that's a betrayal. That becomes the hardest thing to forgive, isn't it? You know, I always wondered how Jesus allowed Judas to stay in his camp the whole time he's walking in this ministry. Judas is doing miracles with them. But Jesus has taken money out of the coffers. Jesus' ministry. It says he was taking money for himself. Somebody would minister to Jesus and he'd say, hey, that could have been sold. And I could have had some of it, is what he was saying. But Jesus loving him, showing love to somebody that was robbing from him, stealing from him, and the ultimate betrayal of stabbing him in the back, knowing it, and still during that time choosing to love him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You know, God did that as so we would understand that he went through everything imaginable while he walked on earth, but was still victorious. You know how he did it? Was it because of the miracles? No. Is because of his love for humanity. Isn't that awesome? Love is patient. Lord, show me your patience towards people. The maturity in the Lord and his character, the foundation is God's love. Above that, his giftings, his abilities, the things that he's placed in your life. But it'll never be a sure foundation as long as we don't understand his love. Amen. The Father's love. The Father's love. It's so much different than even a worldly father. Some people say, but I don't know anything about God's love because I didn't receive it from a worldly father. But you know how we can experience it? We can experience by his Holy Spirit and revelation, and then we experience it from one another. The church. We'll do anything except draw close to a body sometimes in America now. We'll do anything, but what's really needed and really a miracle work in our lives. You know what's a miracle work is that we can go to church together, be completely different and willing to forgive one another and somehow stay together. That's God's love. Some of the love is the little areas, the edges that get sanded off of us as you're around other people, right? Especially if you're an individual, it's like, I don't really like being around other people, right? And as you do it, as you're being drawn by the Spirit of God into a body growing in Him, God will begin to mold you and make you and take those edges off, and He'll begin to do things. And when you're at the end of yourself, you say, I won't give up, I'm going to continue. And that's when He starts chipping off those big pieces, and He begins to form you into something that you could never imagine, simply by trusting Him and not giving up. And the whole foundation will have to be love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Loving to see other people elevated. Seeing other people's giftings, abilities come to the surface. Instead of being jealous, saying, wow, that's pretty amazing what God's doing in their life. And building them up and encouraging them. Hey, I have to admit, I don't think I could get on that soapbox last night and do it like Sean. Sorry. I'm not an evangelist. I found that out real quick. But there's people but there's people that have those type of things. And as we are walking in His love, I'm telling you right now by the word of the Lord that He'll over time. I mean, what it says that our life is but a vapor. Right? You turn 70, you know that it's a vapor. I'm just kidding. You got a lot of years left. My point is it goes quick. Before you know it, it goes quick. And the older you get, the quicker it goes. So sell out, right, Mike? So sell out to His love. Sell out to Him. Saying, yeah, but I got all these troubles and struggles and this, that. Sell out to His love. He'll take care of those things. You'll never regret it. Life is short. Eternity is long. Amen? We have eternity to rest with Him. We have eternity to be with Him. Let's go for God's love in our lives. It is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. We live in a society that likes. Have you been on TikTok? Well, I don't know much about TikTok. But I know Instagram, right? Is that where the old people hang out now, Instagram? I don't know. The young people are in TikTok. Let's just say social media. Isn't it about braggadocious? Isn't it about a presentation of something that probably isn't real? It's certainly not about humility, would you agree? Well, it's the spirit of the world. But the Word of God, you and I being precious in His sight, love does not brag and is not arrogant. See, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. When we humble ourselves, you know, we've talked about this before. You know, love is willing to say, I'm sorry. It's hard sometimes, is it not? Can I say that? Sometimes it is hard to say sorry. But you know, the Spirit of God, when it's done in the right motive, it's the Lord loves it. It's a sign of humility. It allows God's grace to come into that area, right? Allows God's grace to come in that area. Does not brag and is not arrogant. Any more on that, John? Let's go to the next verse. If there is one. Does not act unbecomingly. It's gentle, isn't it? It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. That can be a tough one, can't it? Does not take into account wrong suffered. Are you kidding me? But, you know, that is only through His love. If you start doing this on your own strength, it just more what you just say, Lord, I see this. I ask that You would reveal this in my life. Help me. Show me what it means. The flesh can't do it. The flesh can't even understand it. The flesh can pretend, but it can only pretend so long. It can only be patient so long. You ever had where before where you're trying to be patient and you're like, I'm going to blow a cork. You ever been there? I'm going to blow a cork, or the opposite, where I'm going to just shut down. I'm not going to talk. Some people blow a cork. The other is the opposite. I'm going to shut down. I'm not going to talk for the rest of the day or a couple of days. It's when the Lord shows you these things, what his love is. Amen. And we lay it down and we walk by revelation into these things as he shows us. This is how we begin to grow. This is how the character becomes to be cemented in Christ. It's how our character becomes more like our Savior. And then we're a firm foundation in him. And then when the winds come, we can't be tossed to and fro. Amen. When God releases mighty, powerful things in our life because we're rooted and grounded in him, we don't have to have the glory. We don't have to be braggadocious. We know who did it because that sure foundation says, you know what, my heart can be healed from every wound of the past in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I can trust and love people again. It'll be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As God's revelation of who he is revealed in our lives, in our spirit man, then it comes from our spirit man, and it comes up through our emotions, it comes up through our mind, and then it begins to come out of our mouths, and it's all because of an understanding of what God means in his word. It becomes life. Jesus is the Word, and he became flesh, and he showed us on this earth as he walked with people that betrayed him but still showed them love. That's amazing to me. Amen. Amen, Lord. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. You know what that means there? It means that I don't hold unforgiveness. I forgive. That's what that means. Next verse, John, if we could, brother, I think one more. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Amen. Next one, John, if we got one. Bears all things. Amen. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let me just say about enduring. Sometimes we think of enduring as if I'm hanging onto that rope. But you know, enduring, it just means next tomorrow morning, his mercies are new every morning. I just keep trusting him in his faithfulness. This day doesn't matter what happened yesterday. His mercies are new every morning. I shake those things off. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me to shake those things. I get up, amen, with a song on my lips, and I go forth in his hope and his strength, forgetting those things which are behind me. I move forward in him. Amen. That's what it means. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen. Can you stand up with me? I think we've had enough tonight. Enough good stuff. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing by revelation your love to us. You live in us. You love us. You desire to speak to us. You do speak to us. Lord, help us to know your voice. Lord, help us to know your voice more and more. Lord, help us to hear what you're saying to us. Lord, help us to understand this love that becomes the foundation of our character. So as you use this for your glory, as the other things, the abilities and talents, those things, Lord, are not who we are, but it's your power coming through us by your love. Lord, what the world needs, Lord Jesus, is to see your love, your true love, Lord. Give the church a revelation of your love, Lord. Give us a revelation of your love, a love for one another, a love, Father God, understanding your love for us, Lord. Lord, a deeper understanding of loving you, Father God. If we knew how much you loved us, man, the part of loving you would never be a problem again. Lord, let us understand how much you love us. And so we thank you for that this evening, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for leading and guiding us. Thank you for blessing us for the remainder of this week. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Mercy seated where the judge should be was given.
and getting out of jail.